Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to review just a little bit because if you know, last week we didn't have church. You folks refused to come. What are you laughing about? You did too. I don't know. I was here.
I was here.
When? Mike, stand up, will you? Mike walked a mile and a half to be here Sunday. Give him a hand. And that would have been his second Sunday here. So he did get his second Sunday, but he had to put up with me. You didn't even come out of the house, did you? I thought maybe you saw your shadow and went back in. Amen. I know you're getting all kinds of predictions for 2016. I believe for my life, and you can do with this what you want, it's going to be a year of restoration and transformation. I believe that prodigals are going to come back. But you know something? Maybe there has to be a little bit of a change in us to keep them. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. When we see people walking away, keep in mind, I don't believe Christians get up in the morning and say, well, today I'm just going to go sin a little bit. There's a progression. And you'll notice that walking away usually begins with empty seats. But what do we do when we see somebody going back to what God saved them out of? It's not time for condemnation. It's not a time to get in their face. It's a time to come alongside of them, to encourage them, to help them. And they may push you away for a while. But our purpose is to restore, to bring them back. And that's what restore means. To bring back to a former state. To restore, heal, and bring to soundness. To bring to completion and fulfillment. We don't ignore them, and we don't get in their face. We speak love to them, we speak truth to them, and we work with them. You know, there are times in our lives, and you're going to think this is the craziest thing you've ever heard. There are times in our lives when we got to get over being embarrassed by somebody we sit next to in church and their failures. Love the way you're shouting. You may say, what are you talking about? Well, I know nobody sitting here has ever failed, have you? There comes a time when we reach our hand out, put our arm around their shoulders, and say, regardless of the choice you make, we love you. I can't save them. You can't save them. All we can do is point them back to Jesus. And that's plenty. Second point we preached that Sunday, two Sundays ago, was it's time to be mentally and emotionally restored. The Bible tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Our minds can be our worst enemy. And so we need to walk this out, realizing, as the ladies are studying, I've read the book, The Chatterbox. Satan will throw everything at you, including the kitchen sink, to bring you down. There are times you cannot, say cannot with me, times you cannot trust your emotions. We are emotional, but there are times you can't trust them. Now, this part is for me. There's times I have to learn some shut mouth grace. My wife will acknowledge that. Just ask her gently. There are times we don't say everything that's going through our mind. It should never be our intent to hurt somebody. Love the way you're just flowing with me this morning. This is absolutely amazing. I am excited. You too, Brutus. You went to sleep also. We come to a place where we have to realize when we get hurt, most often right away we're going to say something to hurt somebody else. There's an old saying, hurting people hurt people. And so, when you get hurt, go for a long walk. Be like an old friend of mine named Ole. Ole was told by the doctor he has to walk 5 miles a day. And I am Norwegian, so I got a right to talk about Ole. So the doctor called the house one day, about 10 days later, and asked his wife, "Where's Ole?" "Well, he's walking. He's down by Watertown now." Walking 5 miles a day. Okay, I'll wait till the response is a little better. By tomorrow, you'll get it. He never came back at night, okay? And so we need to come in a place of this restoration of people to a place where we are controlling ourselves. Where we're walking this out together. And where we control our thoughts. How many of you are thankful that all your thoughts didn't come to fruition? How many are thankful that all the things you thought about somebody else may not be true? And so be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Think and look at people as God would.
Yes, amen.
Another thing, don't accept any thought about yourself that doesn't come from God. Did you hear me? Don't accept a thought about yourself that's not from God. Because that chatterbox can eat you up. Number three, reviewing now, if you didn't hear it, please. Well, it was probably on the radio this morning because we didn't have church. Be restored physically. The Bible says how Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing everyone that was oppressed of the devil. We all know the Acts 3 story. Peter and John going into the temple, and the man is there. And Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What, rise up and walk." And the man did what? He went walking and leaping and praising God. Peter goes to a lady's house whose name was Dorcas or Tabitha. She's dead. He learned from Jesus to put out the skeptics. Raised her from the dead. God is a God of restoration. He wants to restore health. He wants to restore mental soundness. He wants to restore people to Him who have walked away. And you know something? He wants to use His body to do it. I want to talk, and I'm probably not going to get through much more, but I want to talk about this. And I'm going to have to look at my notes a little bit. God wants to restore a willingness to minister through the gifts of the Spirit that He has given us. God wants to restore to us a willingness. There's gifts in Romans 12. There's gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Every one of you has gifts, spiritual gifts. But for some reason, either through Satan telling us you failed too much and the gifts aren't there, or things have happened in your life, or this or that, but most of it is an unwillingness of us to believe that God still wants to use us. The Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance or irrevocable. Without repentance means God has no regrets in giving you salvation and the spiritual gifts that He's placed within us. In other words, God hasn't changed His mind. How many does that excite? Every one of you have been blessed with some spiritual gifts. My gift is harassment. God has laid it out in your life. But something has happened. And we've backed away. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to minister that gift through us. And many times, it's just our unwillingness to step into something, or we believe that the gift was taken away. Now, let me tell you about the gifts. Number one, they're not a badge of superior spirituality. It's not, look at me, I have this gift. They're not about building your kingdom or your agenda or your name. They're not about drawing attention to me. The gifts of the Spirit has nothing to do with you except you allow God to minister with the Holy Spirit through you. The gifts are very plain. You don't need to make your own list. They're in the Bible. But what happens is that people have looked down on people because they didn't like their gift, they didn't like the way they used the gift, or they didn't think they had any gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are to glorify one. That's Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not being glorified, your gift is useless. Forgive me. If you don't operate the gift in love, the Bible says it's useless. And if we have a hidden agenda for our gifts, we're missing the total purpose of what God wants to do. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, working of miracles, discerning of spirits, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, working of miracles. They're all out there. Administration helps prophetic or preaching. Romans 12. They're out there. And maybe it's my fault because we don't talk about them enough. Or we don't lay them out. But God wants the gifts of the Spirit to empower His church. And what God ordains, He empowers. What God ordains, He anoints. What God ordains, He brings to fruition. And there's a ministry with the gifts that very often we have just shut out. And there have been abuses. And there's been counterfeits. But let's check it out. What if I told you there was a bunch of counterfeit dollars going around? Or $50 bills or $20 bills, would you bring yours up to me and give them? I don't think so. You'd want to find out if that $20 bill was real or not, wouldn't you? And so don't throw out the gifts of the Spirit because there's been abuses. Because right now, as we face what we're facing in the world, we need the supernatural ability of God to understand things, to know who's talking. Is that God or is that the enemy? How many of us know the difference? Do we go by what it sounds good, or do we go by what the Word of God says? And there's challenges out there to counteract what Satan is doing. And Satan doesn't necessarily just write out lie to you. He'll bring a little bit of untruths with some truths, and we call it error. Because if it was just outright lie, we'd probably understand it. Like, God loves you, He just doesn't want to help you. Or you simply have no value outside the body of Christ. Really? Or you'll never amount to anything special. Do you know why that's a lie? You're already special. The Bible says we're His own special people. And so we come to a place where the gifts are moving and flowing. And Jesus Christ is being glorified. We're honoring Him. You know what else happens? We honor people. Please listen to me. Be very, very careful what you say about someone flowing in the Holy Spirit. Be careful. It's dangerous. But come to a place where the Bible says, earnestly desire the best gift. Earnestly desire. Let me ask you a question. How many of you this week asked God to anoint you with the gifts of the Spirit? How many of you even thought about it? How many realize when you're building a house, it's better to have all the tools instead of just a hammer? Huh, Kirk? Did you have any tools besides your hammer? But the body of Christ is trying to do God's work without having all the tools. And God is saying, these tools are available. In fact, I've implanted some of them within you. Now I want you to step into it. I understand they can be messy. Okay? They can be messy. But if you have someone come in here that's demon-possessed and you need to discern a spirit, do you want to know what's causing that person the heartaches? A few years ago, I was talking to a young man who was a Satanist in my office. His mom had brought him in for deliverance. All of a sudden, the devil picked him up off the chair and threw him on the floor. What do you do? Reckon where you want a door. You know what happened? The Holy Spirit came with a boldness I've never experienced before. And I looked at that young man and the demons started talking to me and say, "We're not coming out." And I remember my exact words, "Your leader's a loser and you're a champion loser and you're out of here." And they left in Jesus' name. And the young man was so touched by God, he went out in the parking lot over by Joe's house and started a fire. Burnt all his garbage. We need that today. Amen. We need the power. We need the authority. We need the wisdom. I was preaching in Napa, Idaho a few years ago. This is not about me. It's about the Holy Spirit. I probably told the story before. But before I started to preach that Thursday night, as I stood up to the platform, the pulpit, to preach, the Holy Spirit said, "Don't preach." I said, "Okay. I better have something to say." So he began to download what he knew about the people in the congregation. There was a young gal, and I still got a card from her, named Charity, who was being enticed into a gay relationship with another gal. God broke it. This is the one I remember the most. I said, there's a lady here and you want to commit suicide, but you don't have the courage to do it. And God wants to set you free. I'm going down the aisle that night for an hour and a half. We prayed for people. She's there. And she said, I'm the lady. After church, the pastor came up to me and said, you know, she's mad at me. And I said, what do you mean? He said, she told me the exact words that you said and thought I had told you. Exactly. The exact words came from the Holy Spirit that she had spoke to the pastor, and we hadn't talked about anything. There are times we need to know. She was free. Stir up the gift of God that's within you. How many of you have ever built a fire? That word kindle, the flame, is take little kindling, little strips, little bark, little pieces of wood, and get the flame back going. Throw it on the coals and see them burst into flame. Watch as the fire is renewed within us. That's what God wants to do. He wants you to know that He hasn't forsaken. He hasn't changed His mind. He didn't take back what He gave. What you have been using through the Holy Spirit and maybe have stopped is still there. But what happens as soon as we make some kind of mistake or some kind of failure or something goes wrong, we have a bad attitude or we say something we shouldn't have, we think, well, God has taken that away from me. God doesn't do that. God does not regret that He put the Holy Spirit within you, and with the Holy Spirit comes ministries and gifts. He's not regretting that He saved you. He's not regretting what He's done in your life to change you. He's just saying, there's more. There's more. It's amazing. The church is desperately in need of leaders. People standing up and saying, God, my only concern is I'll back away. I won't fulfill the calling. And God is saying, come. You're going to make it. You have value. You have importance. You have a place in the body of Christ that only you can fill. I know you probably, well, I shouldn't say that. When my kids come to me and say, Dad, I know you're not going to do this, they left me an opening. I don't want to disappoint them. I was going to say, I know you won't raise your hand, but how many of you know that you have spiritual gifts within you? How many of you know it? And how many are waiting till you get to heaven to find out that you can use them? There's a world out there. And this part bugs me. They're seeing more of ghosts and demons and Satan than they'll ever see about God. So what assumption do you draw from that? You draw from that that Satan is the powerful one. That Satan has the demons. That Satan has the authority. That Satan has the power. And the church sits back and say, wait, you know, what about God? People aren't hearing that voice. Not hearing the voice. We need to hear. Now I know you look at me and say, "What, Pastor, what if you make a mistake?" Oh, then you get kicked out of the kingdom. Think I haven't made mistakes? You got a few hours? Last time I preached in Rapid City, maybe a year and a half ago or so, at Dove Christian Center, a lady came up to me and said, "You prophesied that I was going to have a baby." I said, "I did." "What'd you name her?" "I didn't have one." "What? Well, you told me, well, I came forward for prayer, and you said, I can see you having a baby in just 9 or 10 months. I said, "Oops." But she said, "Thank you." And I said, "What do you mean, thank you?" She said, "Well, after about 6 months and not getting pregnant, and I knew I wasn't going to have a baby in 9 months from that first point," she said, "I went to see the doctor." And she said, "I found out I had uterine cancer. If you wouldn't have prophesied to me, I would have never went to the doctor." I said, "Well, it doesn't quite balance it out, but praise God." I've missed it. You know what the amazing part of that is? God still lets me preach. I blew it. And I'm not saying intentionally blow something or make something up. It wasn't right. It didn't happen. How many ever rode a bike when you were 2 or 3 with training wheels? Do you ever do that? There are times that God just gives us training wheels for the gifts of the Spirit. And he wants us to explore his majesty of his beauty without fear, without worrying about failure. We may miss it. But God still loves you. And maybe like this lady, sometime there might be other people I need to talk to. What did I say? How did it work out? But there are times and times when God is doing it, you're 100% right. 100%. I can go through a lot of stuff when I was praying with Betty Moss at where did that prayer come from? Couldn't have been me. Or later. Or a few weeks ago. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Take a risk. Step into what God is doing. You may say, "Oh, but Pastor, this stuff is so sacred." There's nothing about God that isn't sacred. But God still is a father. Amen? Amen? He's still the father. Remember in Sandlot baseball when you hit the home run, how proud your dad was? Let's hit some home runs for our Heavenly Father. Let it go. And to cover all that, there may be times you want to say this to someone. You walk over to Glenn. Brother, I feel this. And you can shake your head and say, leave me alone, it's not true. Seriously, you got gifts within you. And you've had them for a long time. They need to shine. You're a man of God. You're a man of God. Don't let anyone take that from you. And God has plans that's way beyond what we can imagine. You know, wouldn't it have been nice if God would have put a verse in the Bible like this? He can do things above and beyond all that we can imagine. Wouldn't that be a nice verse? You want to tell me where it's found? Ephesians. What can you imagine God doing in your life? What can you imagine the Spirit of God doing through you? Do you understand a little bit what spiritual depression is? Just coined a new one. Do you understand what spiritual depression is? It's having the power of God within us and leaving it there. And never allowing the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does through us. And pretty soon Satan tells you, well, you're worthless. You have no point. You have no purpose. You don't do anything for God. Be restored. Just be restored. Allow the Spirit of God, and you can trust Him, to minister through you. And you may look at me and say, well, I don't know about those nine, but what about, do you know anybody that serves the gifts of a servant? Do you know anybody that manages money well? Do you know anybody around here that's an encourager? All gifts. All gifts. And they're within us. We might not even know that, but they're in us. And God just wants us to be willing to have them restored. I want to tell you something. Somebody may be thinking, boy, Pastor, are you a Pentecostal now or a charismatic or are you this or are you something else? No, I'm biblical. That's what I want to be. It's not about some denomination. It's about the handbook for the kingdom of God, the Bible. Praise God. Stand with me, will you? Did you know that God is going to restore Israel? spiritually. Read Romans chapter 11. Do you know that God is going to steal or restore the crops that's been stolen? Joel chapter 2. That the swarming and the feeding and the chewing locust ate, the Bible says in Joel chapter 2, that was, I was going to go there, but I'm not, that he's going to restore the things that the chewing and the swarming locust have eaten. Do you ever lose a crop, farmers? Ask God to restore what you lost. I'm serious. Do you ever have cows die of a weird thing? God says, I'll restore. I'm serious, folks. God is a restorer. Look at your life. If anyone be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. He restored. Father, I cover this body with the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe you are a restorer. You're a restorer of so many things. Now restore what the enemy has stolen sevenfold. Restore the crops. Restore cattle. Restore finances. Restore, Lord, ministries and gifts and power and authority. And I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you have patience with us and you're leading us and you're guiding us. And Lord, this is not a message of condemnation, but it's a message of victories for the body of Christ. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.